I would have rather played a game where you take just a dolphin and attach wills to it mechanically. Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Hey, I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 122. I'm going to give you guys five video game genres. They're not the only five, but they are the five that I picked out, and you are going to put them in order of most favorite to least favorite. Just personal.
Personally, easy. For like our own enjoyment?
Yep, yep. It okay. Should be easy, and I believe that each of ours will differ slightly.
Agreed.
All right, so here are the five different genres. Platform. So platformers like Mario, Sonic, Mega Man, and the like. Shooters like Doom, Halo, GoldenEye. Fighters, Smash Brothers, Mortal Kombat. Action adventure, some of the Zelda games, BioShock, Grand Theft Auto. And then RPGs, like Final Fantasy, Fallout, Elder Scroll games. I'll do it one more time. Platformers, shooters, fighters, action adventure, and RPGs. What's your order, Nolan?
Action adventure, RPG, platform, fighter, shooter.
Super interesting. Fighter. Oh, yeah. Fighter would be before shooter on you, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Huh. A lot of Smash. Some Tekken. I enjoy fighters.
Yeah, yeah. That's not a bad order. Kenny, yours.
RPG. Action adventure. Shooter. Platformer. Fighter.
Interesting. Platformers you got under shooters.
What shooter just you at be the playing? Moment.
Those two are probably the ones that would invert for me sometimes if the order were to ever change.
Right. I could see that for you. And mine's not far off. In fact, I thought you were going my way. So RPG, action adventure, platformers, shooters, fighters, which shouldn't be a surprise for you guys.
That's pretty close to me. I hate that real-time strategy isn't on there because I love it, but
sure,
not a bad taste, just of our personal preferences.
So for me, honestly, you know, like I love role-playing games, but I have, in the recent years, I have found an even greater fondness for action-adventure games, probably because they give me some of the same feeling of like control and open world and great story and characters without the like, you know, 80 Anime. To 100 hours it takes me to and play an RPG.
What action is like, fair. Which one specifically? Yeah, you've been playing OOT.
Like we had done, wife and I had done, you know, the Tomb Raider games. Yep. Obviously, we love BioShock games. I don't know, just any of those kind of action adventure. Even Assassin's Creed games I would put in the action adventure category up until this most recent one.
Sure.
Yeah. And then platformers, shooters. That's the same. I'm same with you, Kenny. Like it just depends. I do appreciate platformers more, but... platformers always frustrate.
I feel like it should
no
be
end.
Low on your list given how mad you've been getting at Shovel Knight and some of the others lately.
Well, I just hate fighters, so that's going to be at the end.
Yeah, that's fair.
If we were to add the vehicle racing and combat genre to our lists, where would it fall on yours?
Zero.
Oh, so you'd like it even better than RPG?
Nope.
No, because that's the direction, right? Because one was your favorite, so zero would be even more?
Nope, zero means I have zero interest in adding it to our list.
So number six for you.
Nah, I'm going to just say zero.
Okay, you love it. Nolan?
Kenny loves it. Yeah, it's at the end of my list. It's the least favorite for sure.
Yeah, I would make up some other genres and put it around 12 or 20 or 5,000.
You would put racing above it, though.
I would just put straight up racing, yes, like just standing beside someone and running a lot faster than
not even racing video games, just actual foot races.
I would put so many things before the genre of our retro game of the week. S-C-A-R-S.
Overview.
It sounds like a bad cheerleader routine.
Give me an S.
S.
Cars.
Cars.
What does that spell?
Terrible.
Cars.
Hey, sock cars.
This game's not Rocket League. This game's called SCARS, and that stands for Supercomputer Animal Racing Simulator.
Which you don't know by playing the game. Like, you I don't think that ever comes up by playing the game.
No, it doesn't. So maybe someone made this up and it became like, oh, okay, that's what it stands for. Like, but that's sense.
No one would make
not.
That up. I'm sure that's legit.
I mean, someone eventually made it up, Kenny.
There's a handbook out there or something. Yeah, but the people responsible for this game were responsible for the decision on how to title it.
They need to be held responsible for their decision.
They need to be held responsible for some of their decision making.
Supercomputer Animal Racing Simulator was developed by a company called Vivid Image. And they've made some games before that I've never heard of.
Right.
Probably not great, but, you know, you can go check out their catalog on Wikipedia. It's like five games. Ubisoft published it, and this was old Ubisoft, but old Ubisoft did some good stuff too, so.
Yeah, as a publisher, that's not a tiny name by any means.
No.
Like, that's pretty mainstream.
Big deal. Prince of Persia, Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, just to name a few.
I mean, it's surprising that they put out a racing game, period, and also this one specifically, but it is a racing game, and the reason it's called Supercomputer Animal Racing Simulator is because the cars you choose are animals and insects.
Oh, for sure.
They're like modeled after animals. They're not actually animals.
Right.
They're cars.
They're cars, and it looks like that.
I think the actual premise, and this like is in the name, but when you do some reading on it, I think the actual premise isn't that it's actual cars at all, but it literally is a simulator where supercomputers wanted to like compete with each other. And instead of, I don't know, duking it out digitally or having an actual war, they decided they would race simulated cars, but that were animals.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure human race is extinct at this point, and these supercomputers have taken over.
It's like the year 3000 or something.
Right, and they just decided to battle each other using cars based on animals.
No one read the lore here.
But in my opinion, the majority of these vehicles do not look anything like their animal counterparts.
You can sort of see the inspiration on a few of them.
Yeah, like the shark. But then you get to like the praying mantis or whatever that one is, and it doesn't look like a car or an animal.
Some of them were so bad. No, the scorpion.
The scorpion is good too. They're not actual animals. They have four wheels. They're cars. They just are modeled after. And I think most of the cars, some of them are ridiculous, but most of them you can guess what animal it is.
The lion one,
you're
moving
SCARS up on your list to number zero. Huh?
The main one where in the intro cutscene it shows the animal being morphed onto the car. Like the lion that they used to represent the game looks
realistic.
Nothing like a lion.
Listen, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. The game came out in 1998 for PlayStation, PC, and N64. And it came out in like this weird order where like they released it for each one of those month after month.
Yeah.
Instead of at the same time. I've never really seen that. But it didn't come out in Japan, just North America and Europe, because I think Vivid Image is a European company, was a European company, but it came out in 98. I played it on the N64 as a child, and also played it this week on N64, but I imagine the other versions are pretty similar. I can't see it being that different.
They looked pretty much exactly the same.
So Nolan, you played it as a kid. I never touched it nor heard of it. And Kenny?
Neither had I.
I mean, that's not a surprise. It's one of those games. It wasn't a launch title. It wasn't those random launch titles that come along with consoles that you're like, what is this? It was just this weird game that came out before Christmas. It was like they were trying to publish something before the holidays.
Get in on the holiday cash in.
Uh-huh. And I saw online where someone had commented about this game saying how interesting it is that companies used to do that. And now we can just, simply expect another Call of Duty, another Battlefield, whatever, another Assassin's Creed. But you look back at some of the games they tried to rush before the holiday season and you get scars. So that's what this game is. It's a racing game. And, you know, it's kind of modeled after Mario Kart in many ways. And I guess we can talk about that in gameplay.
Gameplay.
So while some of the things about the concept might be unique to Scars, the gameplay isn't. It is your typical racing game.
Say that. It's got this whole vehicular combat element that is not, at least mainstream. It had been done before.
What are you saying? Like, have you heard of Mario Kart?
It's straight up Mario Kart, Kenny.
No, it's more Wipeout than it is Mario Kart.
It's both combined.
What is it called? What's that racing game called?
You think Twisted Metal that we played?
Yeah, it's more Twisted Metal to me.
Yeah, it's I don't know what Kenny, like, I think the gameplay is so identical. You start every race at a light, which, I mean, duh, red light, yellow light, green light. As soon as it turns green, if you hit accelerate at the same time, you get a boost. Wow, never heard of that before. And then you can collect these power-ups and these weapons around the map. Never heard of that before. And then you can use them. You can hold one, use another, and you can hold the button so that it's the thing that kind of makes this slightly unique is that you can charge up your weapons before using them, which we'll need to talk about that. But then you just complete three laps. You try to get first, and if you do, you move on to the next race. Wow.
I don't know. For some reason, it feels more like a vehicular combat game to me than it does like a Mario Kart game, but that's maybe just because it
might be a style.
Doesn't play like Mario Kart. I don't know. It feels almost like a PC title to me in terms of how it plays.
Yeah, I thought it felt like a PC game for sure. Like playing it this week, I was like, you know, this feels like it was native on PC. But I mean, yeah. I think maybe feeling the style coming through in that. But gameplay wise, it's straight up a Mario Kart. It's just
Mario
format.
Kart meets Wipeout. I just
something
think
like that.
I'd rather emphasize bad Wipeout than I would.
I hear vehicular combat, I think Vigilante 8, not a racing game. Just you're in a car shooting things.
It's more of a racing game, certainly, but like the combat element's big.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's because especially in this game, you're not just relying on you being able to drive your vehicle well, although that's a big part of it. You are using your weapons at the right time against the right people or against the right animals,
supercomputer enemies
to be able to get ahead. And so here it is. You've got 10 different tracks and you've got 9 different vehicles to choose from. Each of them have different stats. So again, this is going to sound very familiar to your other racing games. One of the things that's unique on this is that with each cup, you have to beat the boss. You race mini cars, but one in particular is the boss of that particular cup.
Yeah.
And if you beat that boss in that cup, then you can race as that car you beat in future cups. The first one being you going up against the Rhino, I think, is pretty standard.
That's one element that I really liked. I thought that design choice was kind of cool.
Yeah. And also, you can it'll put you through the cup, but then you play the same map, but it's nighttime, which I thought was interesting, and it doesn't quite explain, but I actually thought that it was kind of cool to revisit the same level, but nighttime, and to use headlights, and like you can actually see like the headlights.
It felt a little gimmicky to me, but the headlights looked kind of okay, and I don't know, I almost think I preferred that aesthetic overall.
Well, yeah, because you don't see all the sharp the polygons
because the rest of it's so ugly,
terribly colored stages. I preferred the nighttime as well. I don't know if it was because of that or because of some other reason, but yeah, you do the same course two or three times in order to beat the boss. Like, it's not just a one time and then you either win the cup or lose it. I think it's a maybe best 2 out of 3or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And you play the stage multiple times before moving on to the next stage.
You mentioned the cars, so let's say the animals that you have. You start with what? Lion, mammoth, rhino, shark, and mantis. And mantis was my favorite, by the way. So I had to stop
you. It doesn't
you.
Look like anything.
No, yes, it does. Do you know what a mantis looks like? His little arms.
Yeah.
Right. So the front of it is shaped like that. I think it would be even dumber if they went like super like realistic looking on an animal with and then put four wheels on it.
Oh, it certainly needs to be a car.
Anyways, mantis was my favorite. And then you have the unlockables, which is the scorpion, the cobra, cheetah, and panther.
Panther being the fastest, like the one that you're ultimately trying
it's
to
get. It's all of your stats. Maxed out.
It's like
your supercar.
Stupid, yeah.
And each of these cars have different stats, as mentioned, but they have use of the same weapons. So mm-hmm. you drive around the map and you collect these power-ups or these weapons, which you press the attack button and you can release the missile or the obstacle that throws in someone's way or a protection energy field or a whole slew of different abilities. But as mentioned earlier, one of the cool things is you can hold the button down and you've got a little charge meter, so you can charge it all the way up before releasing it. And if you do it right, then maybe your barrier that was going to go in the middle of the path is going to be much larger now, or your energy shield is going to last much longer, or instead of just having one missile to shoot, you have three.
Yeah, you also say everybody gets to use the same weapons and you are choosing from the same set of weapons. But unlike some games, the strength that your weapons hit with is also variable from vehicle to vehicle.
Ah,
and so you may have a really like fast, you know, vehicle, but that the weapons don't hit as hard. Or you may have a slower moving, sturdier vehicle with really hard hitting weapons. And it kind of tries to keep it balanced that way.
I like that because – and it also goes along with whatever card is. Like the Mantis – is fast but weak with weapons, but like the mammoth and the rhino are slower, but their weapons hit harder, like they're stronger. So I like that they stuck to actual stats on them instead of just them
and
looking
notable
different.
Stats. Sometimes you have different stats in a game and you kind of play them all and they sort of just feel the same and it almost feels like it's just numbers. These play very differently. If you have one that accelerates faster or slower, you'll immediately notice a difference. If you have a top speed that's higher or lower, the handling that's different, it literally every stat on there, as it changed, I felt like I could tell in game, which is really welcome to me in a game like this.
So which one of the power-ups or weapons stood out to you most or did you enjoy playing around with most?
I feel like some of the most novel ones, and I don't think they were novel completely to this game, so I think this genre tends to have kind of go-tos that are pretty normal. But the ones that kind of made me go, huh, that's neat, were the magnet. It was like, if you drove under it, it was a magnet that would like pick your car up and spin it around once and then set it down, and then you could continue driving. And so I thought that was really novel. The ones I found myself just defaulting to grabbing the most was just your basic gun. It's boring, but I felt like it was the easiest one to reliably aim and hit a person you were going for. And you could also use it, at least on most of the obstacles, to blow up obstacles in front of you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It super also cool. had some defensive, you know, like strategic racing kind of use as well.
What about you, Nolan?
I think the death timer is kind of a unique
That's
item.
My favorite.
It's pretty
I hated
cool.
that.
You
the time
like,
bomb?
Yeah.
It was
you
so
can
frustrating
camp.
To me.
You can kind of camp with it and then just throw it at the last second on somebody and they can't do anything about it. It's pretty cool.
It's super easy to be able to manage well. So what it is, by the way, if you haven't played, is this time bomb that quickly counts down and you can throw it back and forth like hot potato.
Yeah,
like
think hot potato for card disability.
Yeah. Well, so it starts at 20 and it counts down to zero, but so it gives you plenty of time to throw it back and forth. But I mean, once you get a handle of the timing and as long as you're being able to watch your screen well, then you toss it with a second left. And so I think your nearest enemy, it explodes on them once it reaches zero. Yeah, that was my favorite as well.
It's pretty great. They did get pretty creative with the items, I think. I mean, a lot of them are staples for the series or for the genre. And those have to be in there, but some of them were pretty creative.
You had some kind of melee range stuff, which was fun, that was aggressive, and some defensive stuff, and then some like speed up boosts, and really a wide variety of options. And so I was glad that they put in a whole slew of things. When you have a game that's as ridiculous as this, you need that kind of over the top arsenal.
This goes along with the items, but another mechanic they put in there is like a momentum mechanic. Like when you get hit in Mario Kart with something, you pretty much stop completely, and it's pretty devastating and it sucks. But in this one, like, it's weird. You get hit, but you kind of keep your forward momentum. And if you hold down the go button, whatever your controller you're playing on, it will keep going. Like you'll start recovering while you're moving. And I don't know if that was
something
on purpose.
Yeah, something I appreciated, because I noticed that not necessarily as much when getting hit by weapons, but when getting hit by the course or by like rolling up a mountain or something, instead of causing you to crash and having to, you know, go from zero again, you kind of just roll over. And I would successfully multiple times roll in a way that just kept me going on the path, so I didn't completely get thrown, you know, out of the race.
Yeah.
As with a lot of racing games in general, but racing games from this era as well, you also had choice of perspective. Did any of you guys play any in first person at all?
Heck no.
I mean, I tried just a little bit. What I did do is I changed it every single time I played, because the first one didn't give me enough vantage point of viewing everything around me, so I backed up even further. But I'm assuming you, Kenny, went to first person the whole time.
As I was first playing the game, I was just having a really hard time with it. It's a more difficult game than you would expect. Just some things that are kind of punishing, and we can talk about those. But like, I just wasn't having a lot of luck being able to finish well. And I swapped and did one race in first person and ended up winning for the first time in first person. And so part of me was like, oh, well, I should just do first person all the time. And then I realized it was a terrible idea, because the first person in this is true to form. And so if you like get hit and do a barrel roll, not like as a trick, but like it happened to you, your camera literally spins on the screen.
Oh my gosh. And so
they did some things that were really kind of frustrating, that were just like, I cannot handle looking like this.
And you will bounce around, like do those barrel rolls. You'll hit walls constantly. It's kind of hard to turn properly.
People are hitting you with weapons. You got to see when stuff is incoming. Like, it's not even a good game to do a first person in, just because of everything that's going on and the awareness you need. But I liked that it had the option, I guess.
And one other thing that you do have the capability to do, you don't have any rolls or anything that can really maneuver your car well outside of accelerate and brake, but you do have jump jets on all of the cars, on all of the vehicles. So you are able to successfully, or at least attempt to dodge traps and dodge things that are in your way and even other cars. And so to be competitive at this game, you have to get good at knowing when to use those jump jets to be able to get over obstacles. Yeah.
Like, some of the items in the game are like this stop sign one that puts out a laser barrier thing that you have to either drive around or jump over, which, if, like Dustin said, is pretty important. If you can get good at it, it separates first place from last place.
It's an important mechanic in this game for sure. And partly because the field feels so tight. I feel like the way AI works in a lot of these games, it really spreads them all out. And if one or two people pass you, that's fine. I felt like in this, if I had a moment where things went catastrophic,
you're done.
Like, everybody was passing me. But then as quickly as I caught up with them, I was quickly passing the whole pack as well. And so there was really no in between. Like, I felt like I was either really succeeding or really failing.
And we've talked about it once before on this podcast. I don't remember what game it was. Maybe y'all will NBA Jam, actually. But the rubber banding mechanic.
Yeah.
And they have that so heavily in this game that I believe in the options menu, you can turn it off. They don't call it rubber banding, but they call it
AI catch up. AI catch up.
But it's way too strong in this game to where you're never going to get far ahead, which I think it should have been preset to be off. I'm not against being a difficult race, but if you get ahead, you should be able to stay ahead, you know, to some degree, if you're able to maneuver well and avoid obstacles.
Sure.
And in this game, no matter how well you're doing, the enemy will even if you come in first, the enemy will always be split seconds behind you.
And that's probably why I never got very far as a kid, because I didn't know about that option. I would get to the water stage, and then like that was it, because I would lose, and there's no save. Like I didn't have you had to have like one of those expansion packs or something.
Right. Yeah, you stuck the memory thing in the in the controller or whatever.
And whether it's the water stage or some other stage, the your bosses are getting progressively more and more difficult. So you're going to have to get better. You're going to have to play the stage multiple times. And if you don't have, just like you said, if you don't have a save function, then you're going to probably hit a wall at some point to where you are just going to have to play the game over and over and over and over again to be able to get that far, and then slowly progress forward until you hit another wall, slowly progress forward until you hit another wall, until finally months later, you're able to drive the cheetah. What is it? Jaguar?
Panther.
Panther.
Some animal, yeah.
Aged.
This was one of those games that I played as a kid and had to revisit as an adult. And that can go either way, as we've discovered. And this one went the way that you would expect. It was very different than I remember.
Yeah.
The music was the same, but...
Yeah, so just overall, and we can talk about the minutia, but I think this game ages poorly, but I'll start off kind of on the other side, that I think the handling ages remarkably well. Like most of these vehicular combat racing video games, whatever, of the past are just absolute trash. We played some of them and they're just not even worth looking at. And while Scars has its fair share of trash, I think handling is one of the few things that I feel like carries over fairly well. Like I felt like I was able to get some kind of handle of the cars pretty well, and it felt fairly good even for, you know, this many years later.
Like imagine playing this game with bad handling.
Oh, it'd be unplayable.
Right. So I agree with that. I was able to still just jump into playing it. It's just, I don't know. It looked way different than I remembered it. You mentioned the colors being off earlier, Dustin, and I'm with you. Like on the island stage, the sand that you're driving on is like banana yellow. It looks really off. It's strange. Yeah. But for the time in N64 graphics, it's not that bad as far as like the environment around you goes. Like it's passable in my book. It's not like, oh my goodness,
this bad. Is one of those eras, or this is one of those games that I think is the exception that I, in looking at them throughout this week, I think actually looked better on the Nintendo 64 than like on the PlayStation.
Yeah, maybe, but I just don't think they look good. Oh, I've already mentioned the cars and given it a hard time, but even like the terrains in the background, I think they went for tons of detail, but that turns out to be too much detail for the limited graphics that we have on the Nintendo 64 that we have on the PlayStation. And so things just look blocky and chaotic and confusing, and I can't even tell like where the path is and where the route is that I'm supposed to take.
Yeah, it was because kind of overwhelming and a little bit just ugly, I thought.
Well,
I don't know.
On that point where you said that you couldn't see what was coming next, I don't know if this was like a rendering problem or what, but I think the way they handled that was kind of clever. So it's what is it called? Supercomputer
Animal racing simulator.
Okay,
and they, RPG,
and they paint that a little in the title with like how it's rendering, like it's zeros and it's like binary in the back, and it's like very computer, right? So I feel like they got around some rendering issues, maybe, or it was just straight up on purpose, where like you can't see everything in front of you like really far. You can see what's immediately ahead of you, but it looks like. And when you enter the stage, it renders it. Like it does like a grid, and then it does the
graphics. They masked their loading screens with loading screens.
Yeah. I'm on board. I think it's kind of clever to handle an issue your game might be having. And I know that's bad form. Like just make it better and not do that. But I don't know. I don't know if that was intentional. I just thought it would be worth mentioning that.
I thought it worked and kind of did a little bit of tie-in with the whole, you know, this isn't real animals that were running into each other, and therefore your childhood isn't traumatized.
I would have rather played a game where you take just a dolphin and attach wheels to it wheels. Mechanically. Yeah. Just a dolphin cry screaming as it's rolling down a racetrack.
So terrible.
Another, I'll stay on the giving the game prop side for now, and also say that it the game was smooth as far as like what's going on. There's a lot going on at the screen on the screen at times, like explosions, you know, and yeah. like electrical yeah, and fields never, moving, and
it never lagged or no, never once for me or anything.
No, and it should have. In these early games, you get that all the time. Even in more modern games, when there's so much going on a screen, you get some issues. With this, I didn't have one, and there's a lot that's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty tight on that front.
I think they sacrificed some other things, like graphically, for example, for that. Music, I think it's probably going to be splintered for just different people. I don't think anyone's just going to land in... I wouldn't think that many people would land in the middle. I think some people are going to like it. Some people are going to think it's terrible. I was on, like, I think it's awful. I think it's generic. I think it's repetitive. Well, and I don't think it does any good for the game. I'd rather play it on mute.
Oh my gosh. See, I don't think it's that bad. It's funny you say that. I'm kind of in the middle, actually.
Really?
Because it's like a techno soundtrack almost, right? It's like...
Wannabe, yeah. Like futuristic.
Okay. It's
like
a techno soundtrack trying to be... But I think it fits with the point of the game, again, with the simulation crap. But it's just a little awkward to have that in the jungle with animals. You know, like, it's a little out of place to have just like a techno beat going boom, boom, boom.
Right? To be fair, it's computer simulated animals.
No, so I'm somewhere in the middle. And I don't hate the soundtrack. I think I can jam to some of them. But it's not amazing by any means.
It felt generally pretty forgettable to me. I just didn't really notice it one way or the other, which is good. It probably means that it wasn't actually full on bad, because there's some games where like poor That's sound you effects, you know, yeah. takes away from things. And I don't think this was stellar on that front. I think your car sounds and all of those were pretty like canned for the most part, but they had them, you know, and they fit with what was going on. And so, yeah, I think they just did what they needed to get by on that front, and I don't think it was a super strong suit, but I don't think it really took away from the game either. I don't know. I guess forgettable is probably not a goal you want to shoot for. And so if anything, I'm probably on the it could have been stronger side of the fence.
Yeah. I will apply, though, that forgettable thing to not only the music, but potentially to the game. And we'll see in just a moment when we get to our summary section. But I think that that is a interesting way to look at this now, what, 20 years later, is that just from graphics to the cars, to the concept, to the music, to the aesthetics, all of the things that make it unique, I don't know. I think that they could be just labeled as not necessarily completely horrendous, definitely not completely appreciated or wonderful, but just forgettable. Yeah.
And one last thing for me on age, revisiting this game and reminding myself of some of the past struggles I had, even when the game came out, like, was that whole saving thing. The game is basically an arcade game. I mean, you even put in your initials after your race. And so it's like, I was never able to unlock all of those cars, and I didn't know about the cheat that you can put in at the main menu that unlocks literally everything, which I found out this week. But that's always going to be something that ages for me, is like, what does progression look like? And in a racing game, progression is not as important as it is in like an action adventure game. But
it's not super uncommon for these to have that kind of arcade sit down and play and then get up and don't care anymore sort of vibe. So I don't hate that, but it certainly is something to think about in terms of whether it's something to pick up and play today.
Right.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we come to the decision that we have to make. Do we give this game our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down? Do we say find a copy of this game and play it, or reserve your retro gaming time for some other video game? It requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. I'll begin by saying that just stick with Mario Kart 64. I think the games are too similar. Now, please don't mishear what I'm saying, but in what they're trying to accomplish, I think this game marks the 90s well. Let me say that. We haven't talked about that extensively. It is late 90s, so I think that's probably part of the reason why it missed out. The 90s was an era where you can try anything and everything, but that doesn't always mean that you should. And Supercomputer Animal Racing Simulator is one of those that I think shouldn't have been attempted. And so it does not get my vote for New Game Plus status.
I don't think it's a must play game. If you want a racing game, first of all, which I don't think the majority of gamers do, just simply put, just look at the games that we have now. Racing is way on the bottom of the list as far as like releases. But if you want a racing game, Mario Kart is something most people have probably played. So like if you want something outside of Mario Kart, there's probably still a better one to pick. I just don't know about it because I don't know racing games. And this one hurts because it was a childhood go-to for me for a little bit. Like I liked it as a kid. I played it a lot with my dad. And my dad was a trooper. He's not a gamer at all. But he played hours and hours of GoldenEye with me, hours and hours of Scars. He probably thought Scars was hilarious. I need to ask him about it. He definitely remembers it.
But we'll bring him on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. He wouldn't talk at all.
he was here with us on the podcast.
Yeah, he's been here. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
He's not saying anything. Basically, what I'm saying is no New Game Plus. It hurts a little bit. And they did some things really creatively, and I'll give them props, but I've never heard of their company for a reason. So sorry. No New Game Plus.
That's two no's just for kicks and giggles. Is that the saying?
It's a different word.
That's the saying. Scars just for and giggles. Giggles and wiggles is the saying.
Ouch.
I'm the worst. Since my vote doesn't matter, I'll stay brief. I came in with low expectations because I'd never heard of this game and don't like the genre. And in a lot of ways, this game actually surpassed my expectations. There are significantly worse racing games that came out in this era and on the 64. It was certainly playable and at times enjoyable. But overall, I'll stick with that same word that stuck out for you, Dustin, and say that it was fairly forgettable. And so, like an okay game, but not good enough on any one or total pieces to be worth really going out of your way to play. So I'm going to also go ahead and say no New Game Plus from me.
So even though vehicle combat racing is Kenny's favorite genre, Scars does not get our vote for New Game Plus status. Does it get yours? We had a few of our viewers write in this week. Justin wrote in and said, I usually love it when developers take something that has been done to death and then spice it up with a concept no one else thought of. It feels like to me, though, like Scars is haunted by somewhat claustrophobic invisible walls, bouncing you back when you slide off the track just a bit. Yep. There's certainly a lot worse racers on the N64, but this one definitely doesn't do well on the aging scale.
That's fair. We didn't really mention that, but I got knocked around playing this game. Like my car is just like boom, boom.
I think that was a pretty good succinct summary of how I felt, at least.
Yeah, and he even mentioned there's worse ones on the N64. There's worse ones during this time, but this one, it doesn't do well on many fronts. Yeah, thanks, Justin. Antonin wrote in and he said, hi all, I didn't play much, but Scars seemed like a fun game. Physics handled how you expected them to, and the controls were decent. It was definitely the PlayStation version of Mario Kart. I didn't have time to explore the game as much as I wanted to, but the tracks I did play were enjoyable. What did you guys think about the weapons, by the way? The barrier one that you had to jump over were the hardest because I kept timing my jump wrong, especially in the beginning.
It was hard.
Did manage to finish the first race second, and I think that's pretty cool.
Solid.
The first race second? Is that meaning that he got like second
place?
The
first time he raced, he got second place.
He got second place on Aztec, So I think the item and weapon diversity is pretty solid. It's also pretty expected for a game like this.
But reliable. So, like if your aim's on, stuff hits. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And so I thought they did weapons fairly well.
it's just, and we all agree at the end of the day, it's just not one that you need to play. But man, I respect when companies get creative, and it's just, it's a really silly concept in this case, but it's different. So whatever.
This is one that if it did vibe with someone, just because, I don't know, kind of pushed all the right buttons for them and someone did enjoy it. Lol. It's not one I'd even argue with someone about. Like, there's games that if you like them, you're just wrong and you're not even maybe a human. You know, like, I'll go to bat on some of these. But, like, this was an okay enough game that, to me, if someone, like, enjoyed it, I couldn't blame them for it. But I just wasn't personally sucked in, you know? I don't know.
We have one more email from Door to Door Geek, one of our new friends. Yay. Who I think this is his first time to write in, actually.
Awesome.
He said, hello, guys. The worst thing I can say is it's a kart racer. The best thing I can say about it is it's a kart racer. Nothing about the game stands out to me. Support those who support you. Tell people if they get enjoyment to support. Patreon.com/NGP podcast now.
Hey, that's nice.
Yeah, thank you for using half your email to shout us out.
Check out Door to Door Gaming, too.
Absolutely.
Check them out.
I mean, he said it, right? Nothing about the game stands out. Going back to the word, forgettable.
Man, I really think if you asked a lot of people about this game, they would all come to the same conclusion. It's not one that you're just like, oh my gosh, this is the worst game I've played. It's just not one you need to or want to, really.
Yeah.
Hey, well, guys, what game did we just record an episode about?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's how forgettable this game is.
All right. So we are putting Scars to death, and we are moving on to a new game of the week. We have a retro master list, which is ever growing. We got emails this week. One of our newest listeners actually connected us through our website, sent us a list of a lot of good games that she played all throughout her life.
Nice.
So we're definitely adding those to the list. Thank you for your email. You can always send us in your game suggestions to be added to our retro master list. The link to that list can be found on our social media handles. From that list, we are going to randomly select a new retro game of the week in which we'll play for the next 7 days, and hopefully you will play along with us too. Randomizing now. We are going to be playing a LaserDisc video game that came out in 1983. It's the first game in its series.
Old school. It plays
like an interactive movie, which that's my reason for a little sound of disgust.
You like storytelling?
The game was actually featured in the Netflix series Stranger Things.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Interesting.
Kenny's in.
Yeah, I'm all about that.
We are going to be playing for the next 7 days a game developed by Advanced Microcomputer Systems and published by Cinematronics. The game is Dragon's Lair.
Whoa. Isn't that a significant thing?
I mean, it was in Stranger Things.
I think that's important. Why it's recently significant, was because of the 80s shout out from that show.
Okay.
I don't know much about this, although I'm reading that it features animation by an ex-Disney animator, so that sounds promising.
I've also been into D&D lately, so maybe this will hit that chord.
Well, it originally came out on arcade, then were on some floppy disks for PC. It came out on Commodore 64 a few years after release, and Spectrum and Amiga. It came out on everything after that, so... I don't know. This is going to be similar to Maniac Mansion, in which you can play on multiple different systems, probably multiple renditions of it. Up to, I think it even came out on like for iOS and Androids.
Wow.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Find a copy. Play along with us this week. Dragon's Lair.
We'll be talking about Dragon's Lair and probably Stranger Things, knowing Kenny, in our Discord this week. You can find an invite link to that on our Twitter. If you don't know what Discord is, it is just a chat software for gamers, and you can get it on your phone. So come hang out with us. It's free.
Got to say big thanks to all of our Patreons who support us on all of our patrons, rather. I'm going to get my terms right. on patreon.com. You guys, not just giving us your time and attention, but supporting what we do financially, even just a little bit at a time, makes a world of difference for our ability to make a high quality, we hope, program for you guys. So thanks to each one of you, especially to our producer level supporters, Zion, Bradley, and Gimbarino. You guys rock our proverbial faces.
Make sure to find us and follow us on social media. That's Facebook and Twitter, NGP Podcast. You can find us on YouTube as well. We've got regular Let's Plays going up of Dark Souls and Ocarina of Time each and every week from Nolan and myself. Listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you're the first to get new NGP episodes. And if you would like to, leave a kind review. We always appreciate that. These episodes are now edited and produced by our friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Dragon's Lair. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.